Let's take our Bibles to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms 11. I hope that you have kept your eyes upon the Lord through this week and through your journey. God is faithful, and His Word is good. You know, what we're going to read today, what we're going to look at is about 3,000 years old. David was about 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. And so, as he penned these words, as God, the Holy Spirit, worked through him to pen these very words of the Scripture, they are still good today. Amen. They are not expired. They are authoritative and powerful. And truly, the authority of the Word of God is critical for these times when everything moves, when everything shifts, when life seems to be turned upside down. We need the anchor of the Word of God. And so I'm thankful for the Scripture. In fact, the Lord Jesus believed the Bible, and the Lord Jesus loved the Scriptures. He said that the Scriptures cannot be broken. He said heaven and earth would pass away, but my word will not pass away. In fact, a verse I've always loved, or a whole passage I've always loved, is when Jesus, the risen Savior, was walking with Cleopas and another disciple on the road to Emmaus, and he was veiled before them. They didn't know who was walking with them. They assumed some stranger. And as Jesus walked and talked with them, the Bible tells us that he opened the Scriptures. But let me share one of the verses that records Jesus' words. Luke 24, verse 44 says, "And Jesus said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." So here's Jesus, and he says to these two disciples, as he reasons with them from the Scriptures, he said, "Don't you know? It's all got to be fulfilled. Everything that was written in the first five books of the Bible, the law of Moses, all that needs to be fulfilled. Everything that was written in the prophets, and that which was written in the Psalms." Oh, the authority of the Scripture. We're not just reading some ancient documents that are cool to look at. Some wisdom from the past. No, 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 friends. We're looking at the very Word of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, by the very breath of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 11 for our text, for our passage that we're going to expound upon. And so this isn't a topical message. The title here, "If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do?" We find that written here in Psalm 11, that question being asked. But as we seek to answer that question, we're going to answer it from this psalm. Rather than a topical throughout the Bible, we're going to answer it from the passage right here. What can we do if the foundations be destroyed? What can the righteous do? So let's begin reading with verse number 1, Psalm 11 here, verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? O Lord, please help us this morning. Open our understanding. Help us apply your word to our lives today. Lord, give us wisdom, give us discernment, and certainly, Heavenly Father, I ask for your help, your filling, that I might preach what you want, that I might make it plain, that I might accomplish what you desire in this time, whether it be for those gathered in this sanctuary here, or whether it be for those joining us online this morning, or even later on. Lord, we pray that you would work through your truth and impress it on us. Father, we do pray for our nation. We, with genuineness, love this land. Lord, I thank you for the foundation that was laid for this country. It is amazing. It is phenomenal. It is unprecedented in history. Lord, we know that your purpose, your eternal purposes and plans are not centered around the United States. Your purposes and plans are far greater than this. But Lord, we also know that you work in the affairs of men. And we know that your hand has been upon this nation and its founding and its continuation. Lord, we know that through these United States of America, many have been freed from bondage. Many have heard the gospel. Lord, our sins are many. But Lord, we ask for your mercy upon this land. We pray for your intervention. Oh God, we look to you that you would give us wisdom through these days, through these trials. And Father, we ask your blessing on the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. As I examined more closely verse 3, speaking of the foundations, if the foundations be destroyed, posing this a possible condition. The idea here of be destroyed is actually in the imperfect tense, which gives the impression that it's in process of destruction. Okay, that's the emphasis. What I understand from the grammatical standpoint. And so if the foundations are being destroyed, if the foundations are being torn down, those things that were laid, that the nation was built on, that other things were built on in our society, in our world, and as those things are torn down, as corruption seems to prevail, as wicked men advance, and as lies are sold for truth, we scratch our heads and say, what can we do? What can the righteous do? Oh, we notice down in chapter 12 here, verse 1, Psalm 12, verse 1, David cries out and says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. And, you know, the dire condition, if the foundations be destroyed. Well, I believe we are in a constitutional crisis in our land. There's been such a shift in this previous year and into this year. We've seen such a breakdown of the fabric of society and what is built on. We've seen such a censorship of free speech. Boy, I tell you, I'm thankful for the opportunity to publish the Word of God, not only in a local assembly like this, but through the broader connection through technology online to the seven that are joining us live right now. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. But you know what? I'll tell you this loud and clear. The day is coming, has been happening in other places in our world and is really, really close to right here, that we won't be able to broadcast. I'm not trying to prophesy that or anything like that, but I'm saying when persecution comes, believers go behind closed doors. And I have received some, you know, I've read some stories, seen some things that are happening in the United States and in Canada, that there are believers who have been meeting in a fashion behind closed doors. There are those who normally broadcast pretty regular and haven't been, or at least they weren't doing it live. It was published later on. And not because their technology wasn't working properly, but because of the harsh restrictions by the state. These things are beginning to happen. The censorship of free speech and our religious liberties being attacked. Oh, my friend, what can we do? Well, let's see what the text says, because that's what we want to know. What in these perilous times that 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about, in the latter days, perilous times shall come. Well, in these perilous times, I see the scripture first of all telling us to stand strong in the Lord. Notice Psalm 11 and verse 1. David writes here and he says, in the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? David is expressing first and foremost his trust in God. And you know, the King James Bible gives us a consistency in using God's different names. And when you see capital L-O-R-D in the scripture, like you do here in verse 1, of Psalm 11. When you see the capitals, all caps, Lord in all caps, it is God's name Jehovah, his proper name Jehovah, emphasizing that he is the covenant-keeping God, Jehovah. So as David opens this psalm, of course guided by the Holy Spirit, but he says, he makes this testimony, he says, in the Lord put I my trust. This was a deliberate choice David made to depend on God. He said, in God is my confidence. In God is my dependence. I have placed my trust in God. You know, we have to get to that place. We have to nurture that where we are clinging to the rock. And there is no rock like our God. Notice Psalm 18, if you would. Psalm 18 and verse number 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. In other words, it's tested. It's passed examination. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. That is a personal shield. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And so we have God's protection. Verse 31, it says, for who is God save the Lord? And again, you'll notice Lord is capital L-O-R-D, which is the underlying name there, Jehovah, in the original language of Hebrew. And he says, for who is God save Jehovah? Or who is a rock save our God? Where is your confidence? When trouble hits, when perilous times come, and you know, things, I'm certainly not desiring things to get worse, but I recognize that from a biblical standpoint, we're told things will get worse and worse. Apart from a revival, apart from a national, a global turning to the Lord, and you know, the advancement of the gospel is a wonderful thing in this day as well. History tells us that in times when persecution stepped up, the gospel spread like wildfire in many, many situations. And so the opportunities of our day are great. We must trust in the Lord. We must stand strong in the Lord. You see, the Christian life isn't about having a three-car garage. The Christian life isn't about driving a new vehicle or having several new vehicles, whatever the case may be. Right? The Christian life isn't that we have economic opportunity. The Christian life isn't to hold on so that we can do these pleasurable hobbies or whatnot. That's not the Christian life. That's not the sacredness of this life. The sacredness of this life is dedication to Jesus, serving Him and doing His will. And so we must stand strong in the Lord. David made this declaration that his trust he had placed in Jehovah. Psalm 20, verse 7, David wrote, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Notice Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 9, verse 9 and 10. "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, thou, Jehovah, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." You've not forsaken those who seek thee. Are you strong in the Lord? You know, in Ephesians 6, we'll jump over there. In Ephesians, in chapter 6, I invite you to turn there with me. If you're joining us online, I encourage you to turn in your Bible as well. Ephesians 6. Please notice, beginning with verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." Would you read that with me? "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And it goes through to give the types here of the different armor, which are truth, the belt of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and prayer in verse 18, and all of these things. But God tells us that we need to be prepared for the spiritual battle. Soldiers must avail themselves of the armor, of the weaponry. We don't go into battle unprepared. We don't go into battle in our pajamas. We need to be prepared. We need to have the preparation. And so, are you standing strong in the Lord? You know, I want to notice back here in Psalm 11, as David first and foremost proclaims his dependence upon God, which is foundational. But I want you to see in verse 1 what he turned away from. Notice what it says in verse 1. "How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Let me just say it this way. We as Christians can't just withdraw from engagement in our world. God has not called us to withdraw from engagement and hide in the wilderness. He's actually called us, Matthew 5, to be salt and to be light in this dark world. To be salt that makes a difference and changes the flavor where we work. To be salt that makes a difference and changes the flavor of our community. To be salt and light that exposes darkness. and that brings to light the glorious gospel. And so David says, how say ye to my soul that I should flee like a bird to the mountain? Like, go find a place of refuge. Just leave all the troubles behind and go find a place to hide out. Go find a place to escape society and its chaos. No. No, God wants us to be in the world. Please notice a Jesus prayer in John 17. John, Gospel of John, chapter 17. Notice how Jesus prayed for us, his followers. John 17, and we're going to look at verse 14. He said this, he said, I have given them thy word, Jesus prays before he goes to the cross. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are to be salt and light, but not condoning evil, as Psalm 1 says, not walking in the way of the ungodly, right? Not sitting in the seat of the scornful. But now, back here in John 17, notice verse 16. They are not of the world, Jesus says. Jesus speaking about his disciples, about his followers. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We are sent to this world. We carry the message of hope. Stand strong in the Lord. We can't just flee like a bird to our mountain. It's not about just hiding out until the rapture. It's about advancing the cause of Christ, proclaiming the hope that is so desperately needed. Oh, that more would come to Christ. We must recognize there is much to do for Jesus in this world. What would he have you do? How can you serve him? Well, put on the whole armor of God, first and foremost, right? Now, notice verse 2 of Psalm 11. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. David says, now, I don't know exactly the timing of the writing of this psalm. I don't know if David was fleeing from Saul and on those kind of things. I don't know exactly the trial and tribulation that was coming at him at that time, but he says the wicked were attacking him. In fact, in verse 2 here, he says they were hunting him. The wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privily, that's privately. You know, when you go hunting, especially with a bow, you hide out. You dress and you're in a blind or what have you. You're it's secret. You're trying to get the deer, if that's what you're hunting. You're trying to get the deer to come close to you so that you can take them unawares. Well, David said the wicked. The wicked are hunting me. They're after me. And you know, we know biblically from the rest of the Word of God that we as God's people in the last days certainly will continue, will increasingly be so, a hunted people. Those who stand for biblical Christianity, those who stand for biblical marriage, those who stand for the sanctity of every human life from conception to in old age, we will be a hunted and a hated people. Those who stand for the way of salvation through Jesus alone will be a despised people. And David, 3,000 years ago, was hunted by the wicked. By the wicked. By those who hated God. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, David says, I've put my trust in the Lord. So stand strong in the Lord. we can endure life's hardships with God's armor. You know, if we had more time, we could look more at Ephesians 6, which tells us that the armor of God will defend us against every fiery dart of the wicked. We must take on the whole armor of God. And so, are you growing in your walk with the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus, first and foremost, as your Savior? Have you trusted Him by faith? And if you have, as a saved person, are you growing? Jesus talked about getting saved as being born again. Well, babies need to grow, right? And we need to grow in the Lord. It's not right to stay a baby. There's something very wrong if that's the case, right? We need to grow in the Lord, grow in prayer, grow in God's word, grow in faith. Well, number two, I want you to notice that we need to remember who reigns. Remember who reigns. When everything's turned upside down, when the foundations are being torn down, when it's being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, now, verse number four, the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. I'll tell you what, first of all, remember who reigns. The Lord is in His holy temple. I'll tell you what, when circumstances seem hopeless, when we see the advancement of wickedness and the attack against morality, the attack against Christianity, the attack against truth itself, honesty itself, let us remember, as 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 says, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. I'll tell you what, heaven can handle earth's challenges. Heaven can handle earth's challenges. Notice, if you will, verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. Aren't you glad to know that? God, He's not away on vacation. He's not napping. He's in His holy temple. You know, the temple is where you meet God, right? It's illustratively where you come to meet God. It's where you come to worship God. It's where you come to pray. Well, God's accessible. He's in His holy temple. He's doing the work of the ministry on our behalf. The Lord Jesus, in other places, is described as seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. God's not checked out. He's not away. He's in His holy temple. Boy, notice that also. Holy temple. All the contaminants of earth have not contaminated heaven. It is not tainted God nor His holy dwelling place. I'm sure thankful that's where we're headed, is to be with the Lord, to dwell with Him where He dwells. And so heaven can handle earth's challenges. Heaven can handle earth's circumstances. Notice also that earth's rebellion will not overthrow God's rule. Verse 4 here, the middle of the verse, the Bible says not only the Lord is in His holy temple, but it says the Lord's throne is in heaven. Earth's rebellion will not overcome God's rule. He rules. He's still on the throne. We sang that in the second song this morning. He is still on the throne. Heaven rules. When everything crashes around us, when things are really hard, when life is challenging and when truth has fallen in the street, let us remember, God rules. He is in control. Remember who reigns. He is on the throne. Notice also verse 4, it says, His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of man. Oh, friend, God sees. God sees what's going on. Don't think for one moment that God is not observing what's happening. If you're wronged, if you're afflicted, just know God sees that. Don't fret about the wicked. Their day of judgment is coming as well. God sees accurately. It says his eyelids try the children of men. He's evaluating. Oh, he's merciful. Man, if you're living in sin today, get right. Get right. Repent of your sin and turn to the Savior if you're not saved. And if you're a saved person living out of fellowship with the Heavenly Father, get that right. Oh, the joy of walking with the Lord. Oh, the joy of unbroken fellowship with the Lord. His eyelids try the children of men. Oh, verse 5, David continues on. He says, the Lord trieth the righteous. He trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Verse 5. You know, when I looked closer into what it means, what does it mean that he tries the righteous? Well, the word try certainly carries the idea of looking at something closely. In this case, it's people. It's the righteous. Can I say it this way? God is examining you closely. His face is towards you. He brings the righteous through testing. And I think of Job. In the beginning of the story, we find God boasting about Job. Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. A man that feareth God and eschews evil. Have you considered my servant? Wow. Amazing that God would say that. God sees. Don't ever think God's forgotten about you. Well, he's busy. I'm not noticed. Oh, no. Notice also, it's not only the righteous that he examines closely. He's very in tune with what's going on in the lives of the righteous. But notice the contrast in verse 5 that he abhors the wicked. So in the one sense, he's getting a glimpse closer. He's leaning over the portals of heaven with joy, watching and intervening. But in the case of the wicked, it says that the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. There's a disdain, there's an abhorrence. Psalm 7, verse 11. Notice Psalm 7, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. God's judgment, in the sense here of judging the righteous, again, is that close examination. And certainly, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body. You know, judgment isn't bad. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you're living for Him, God has much, much reward waiting for his children. And so we must keep that in mind. Who reigns? Who reigns? Who sees and knows all? Who will take account of everyone? Judgment day is coming. We must remember that and continue to trust the Lord. Notice the verse 6 here in Psalm 11. Verse 6, the Bible says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. They will get what they deserve. Oh, my friend, we must recognize that the wicked will get what's coming to them. Now, in God's great mercy, He saved us from our sin. And the message that we need to share, repent and turn to the Savior. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us that God has no joy in the death of the wicked. But He will judge rightly. He will judge rightly. snares, fire, brimstone, and a horrible tempest shall be the portion of their cup. Notice over here in chapter 9, verse 15. Chapter 9 and verse 15, the Bible says, "The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken." Their own sin is going to damn them. Their own corruption is going to catch them. Verse 16, "The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands." Hegeon Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God, remember who reigns. It's sobering. It's sobering. Well, lastly, notice verse 7. We've seen in this Psalm 11, what can we do if the foundations be destroyed? Well, we can stand strong in the Lord. Number two, we can remember who reigns. We must. But then number three, we can live for his pleasure. Notice verse 7. "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. You know, we can live for his pleasure. There have been many in generations past, and even those today, who have suffered for Jesus' name with joy. Yeah, I think of Stephen, one of the first martyr in the early church, right? And as hateful people were maligning him and assaulting him, and they looked in his face with anger and hatred and murder, and they looked in Stephen's face, and they saw the face as it appeared to be of an angel. Stephen was at peace. Stephen was boldly in the Holy Spirit testifying of God's salvation. And they killed him. But you know what? Stephen lived for his pleasure. When times get tough, when wickedness seems to prevail, we must remember that we must live for his pleasure. We must honor the Lord. Notice three quick things in verse 7. It says, first of all, it says the righteous Lord. I want you to remember that God is right. God is right. The righteous Lord. He will do what's right. He is right. He's always been right. He always will be right. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. This is what God absolutely relishes. This is what he enjoys. This is what rejoices God's heart, is righteousness, right things, doing what is right. 3 John 1 verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You know, you and I have the opportunity to bless God by living godly, by honoring him in this world. The Bible tells us also in Luke 15, verse 10, that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Joy. Joy when people turn to God. Joy when people live for God. You can bring joy to God. And then notice the last part of verse 7. His countenance doth behold the upright. The word countenance has the idea of his face. Here again we see that God's face is towards his people. God is looking out over over heaven's battlements. He's looking out over and smiling on those who are faithful in trial. Those who endure patiently, those who bless and preach the gospel, and wow. Live for his pleasure. Is your life pleasing to God? Is he looking over the portals of heaven? Does it bring a smile to his countenance as he sees you living from day to day? He is watching. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? They can trust God.
stand strong in the Lord. He will never fail. Number two, remember who reigns. Remember who reigns. And David, through the Holy Spirit, helps us to understand as well that we can live for God's pleasure. Live for God's pleasure. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his face, his countenance doth behold the upright. God sees. God sees. Though the world hates you, there's a God in heaven whose countenance is observing. Thank you for your attention to the message this morning. And very important for us to follow the Lord Jesus in these days, to be in our Bibles, to study God's word, to walk with him and grow. 2021, if God should give us these days of this year, wouldn't it be best for us to be serving him, living for him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for all that you have challenged us in this morning. Lord, you are watching. You do see. You do know. You will hold us accountable. You will judge the wicked. Lord, help us to live in tune with your word, with your Holy Spirit, to stand strong in the Lord. We thank you for this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.